You are listening to Four Girls, Sex, and the City.
This podcast, we will be discussing Sex and the City 2 episodes at a time. My name is Sarah, and I am married, no children.
Hi, I am Mari. I am 27, no children.
Boyfriends.
Single female, guys.
Single female.
I'm proud of it.
And there you go.
So much fun.
So single, bilingual, and ready to mingle.
Oh, I like
there
it.
There you go. I'm Jackie, 27, ball and chain for 2.5 years, no children.
Oh, 8, but you have the one in passing, I don't know, what do you call that? Like when you're, what would you call it?
Well, I,
no, that's when
my other half has a son, he is 9 years old, he is awesome, so it's, with someone.
Mother in training.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Alright, last but not least, I am Pam. I am married with kids.
Woo!
I am not saying my age.
Oh, by the way, I'm 40. Just so we're clear.
There you go.
Anyway, you guys, we actually ended up watching 2 episodes of Sex and the City. We saw the first one, which is called Sex and the City. It's actually an introduction to the episode. We start off this episode with a narration from Carrie, the main character on the show. And she was actually, she starts off right away by narrating a story of Tim and Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
right.
Where it was love at first sight. They dated hot and heavy for 2 weeks. And then they went in the very last part of their relationship, quote unquote, they went to go see a townhouse, and then he decided that, hey, maybe you want to meet my parents, and everything was going well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, no communication. Just drops her.
Just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Has that ever happened to you guys at all?
No.
I wish someone took me house shopping.
No.
Right? Yeah.
I could see us here. Oh, wait. Never mind. I'll just drop you.
No. I can't say it's happened in 2 weeks. Like Tim and Elizabeth, at least.
Well, yeah. I mean, but maybe like a 6-month period, and then all of a sudden, like, the calls start to diminish, and there's like no real break, no real closure. I got that a lot.
I'm trying to think. I haven't received that, but I kind of did that. But I kind of made it clear that it wasn't going to be really a thing, but we could hang out type of thing. So we would go out on dates and stuff for a while, and then he was catching feelings and was going to be like the whole, you should come to this family thing, and that's kind of where I was like, abort.
But did you like stop calling them, or was it just like, okay, you know, this isn't working?
I kind of told him, like, you know what, I can't. So that's what
so
I did.
The whole situation.
There's a dragon growing in the background.
I can't say I've been there.
The cool thing about this episode is, like, it's really cool because one of the things you see is, like, she breaks down the fourth wall, Carrie, the main character.
Yeah.
She actually speaks to the audience, sort of like Deadpool does.
Yeah, I've seen episodes, like, later episodes, but I've never seen it from the very beginning.
Right, and it completely changes and morphs into a kind of different type of show as you go on. But
yeah.
But the first few episodes are like that.
Because, like, yeah.
Yeah,
the first season?
Huh?
The first season?
Yeah, the first
I think
season
only the first season, yeah. Yeah, and then after that, I think it
you just hear her narrating, but it's not the fourth wall
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, it's not the fourth wall where she's talking to the audience
yeah.
anymore. Right. How did you guys feel about that? Like, how it changed as it progressed? I mean, I know that we shouldn't really go beyond what we're doing today, but I mean, we know for sure that it has changed. How many times have you guys seen Sex and the City, like the whole thing, like the whole 6 seasons? Don't be afraid.
I haven't. No, I haven't seen. I've only seen it sporadically. Like, if she's watching, if Pam's watching and I'm over mm-hmm. here and she just happens to have it on, or that's about it. But I've never, like, seen the whole thing from beginning to end.
No.
I've seen the movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's
seen
about
the
it.
Series twice. I'm going on my third.
I'm going on my fourth with this podcast.
About the same.
So Pam and I have have watched it four times.
So you guys are seasoned in this show.
Absolutely.
I have beginner's eyes.
That's good. Because I'll be like, what?
Beginner's perspective. Yeah, because I was watching it and, like, I had texted her and I was like, wait, I missed it. When does Big, I know I'm kind of jumping a little bit, mm-hmm. like, when does Big get his, like, nickname? Like, how did he get his nickname?
That's one of the things that I wanted to actually talk about in the show, too, is that immediately when you actually see Big and meet him and he bumps into Carrie on the streets, he doesn't introduce himself at all. Like, they just are like, you know, he just helps her out, yeah. whatever. And then again, when she runs into him at a club, or was it a bar?
It was
a smash club.
Yeah.
And then Samantha's there, her friend is there, and she says, that's the next Donald Trump. He's,
No, it was a party.
Although he's better looking, but
younger and better looking.
Yeah. But they have, like, not made any reference to what his name is, what his last name is, or anything like that.
Yeah.
And actually,
referred to him as Big, as Mr. Big.
Yeah. After that, it was like Mr. Big or Big. Uh-huh. So that was really interesting how we never, throughout the whole show,
get his name.
Know his name.
Because I've seen the two movies, so I know
what his name is.
Where he ends up. You know, they end up...
Where they end up as far, yeah.
And I didn't know he was there from, like, the very beginning.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Episode one. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, he actually, like, accidentally bumps into her after she's had a casual sex. And he helps her pick up the contents of her purse.
Yeah.
And in there were, like, some Trojan ribbed for her pleasure with an extra, like, space at the tip. Like, she really detailed it, and it was like... Huh, okay, well, what kind of impression does that give him? But then as he runs into her, he found out that she's not only, like, just this airhead. I was just, like, because they have, like, intelligent conversation after that.
That's true.
Interesting. In this episode, we mostly see, like, how dating for them is difficult. We get to meet Miranda, we get to meet Samantha, we get to meet Charlotte, and then they're all, like, having issues with meeting men, dating them, and having a long-lasting relationship. And because it's season one, they have, like, this interview-ish kind of segments within the episode where they interview, like, random people, where they're speaking to the audience as well. And one of them, the guy expressed it like a mid-30s power flip.
I love that concept.
I know, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, how did you... Do you guys remember that?
Where he said that at 30, he's like... wait, the guy said it or the girl said it?
No, the guy. There's a guy who says it. He says, in the 20s, the woman controls the relationship.
But then in the 30s,
there's a power flip. Yeah. And then women are just flocking to him, I guess... Because of this, you know, how scarce single, available...
That's true, too.
Professional, successful men are.
That was an interesting concept or thought, because I never thought of it that way either. Like, because it does change once you're older. You're not, like, when you're early 20s, like, let's go out, let's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a guy, cool, if not, whatever.
Yeah.
And later on, it's that way, and then later it just changes, and then it flips.
Absolutely.
Like, the guys are, like,
isn't
more
it
there.
More because when a guy is more towards his 30s, he's more...
Get together?
Like, or stable, more, like, calm down. Like, the party person is gone. And I want to be a father, husband, whatever. And so because you're not talking about a 30-year-old marrying a 30-something-year-old. You're talking about a 30-year-old marrying a 20-something-year-old.
That is an excellent... That's an excellent point you brought up, because there was another little such interview that was done with another guy where he said it has to do with age and biology. When you're in your late 30s and you want to settle down and have kids, you don't want to date the 35-year-old woman because the clock is ticking.
You
gotta have
somebody
kids
younger.
Right away. So that's why you end up dating somebody younger and settle down with somebody younger. But you're absolutely right. And this is what the topics that they hit in this particular first episode was, because those women at their 30s are having difficulty settling down with someone that is professional, good-looking, mm-hmm. successful,
right.
because nobody wants to settle down, and they're mm-hmm. mostly looking at women that are younger.
And I didn't know that these girls start the show already in their
30s. Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Actually, in the first episode, they're celebrating...
Carrie's 30th?
No, Miranda's.
Miranda's,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, they brought in a cake and stuff, and she's like...
Well, that's right.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's right. I just thought it was... They were younger, since I guess the show ran kind of long.
I think you got that perspective because of the Carrie Diaries.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you saw the Carrie Diaries?
Okay. I remember it being advertised and stuff, and it's her... When she's starting out, I think.
Yeah.
In New York. I think she's already moved to New York.
No.
Before she moved?
She lives in a small town outside of New York.
There you go.
So she lives in a small town outside of New York, and to travel to New York, she has to take, like, the train or the, you know, this big ride.
Okay.
And that's how she ends up being in New York. Damn it, I watched it. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, is it good? I didn't even...
It was pretty good. I got so bummed that...
It was canceled.
It leaded up a lot to them meeting and like how she met Samantha, which is the first only one you see her meet is Samantha.
Oh.
And you see the wild side of Samantha.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't see her meet Charlotte or Miranda. And you see Carrie going through the boy troubles and everything already.
She's always going through those boy troubles.
Yeah.
She brings them upon herself all the time, though.
That's true, and that's one of the things I really want to discuss as we go further along in our podcast. One of the things I noticed that there was also another one of those kind of interview-esque kind of moments in the first episode where this guy, he's rock climbing, right, and he's like, I don't know why women don't just settle. Like they're already in their 30s. They should just settle. Like, why are they still, like, being nitpicky, you know? And then one of the things he closes off by saying is like, they should just marry a fat, balding guy and
get it over with.
And I'm
similar.
I'm like, okay. But I mean, I think that
sometimes you do feel like that. Well, at least I do. I'm just like, you know what? All these douches. Like, I'm still marrying a fat guy that's gonna be faithful.
But you know, But you know, one of the things that I've noticed is like for the people that take on like, cause you know, I don't know what show, but they said that there's always a reacher and a settler. What was that? Was it Friends?
I don't know.
It wasn't Friends.
It was something else. A show that said there's a reacher. And there's a settler.
Was it How I Met Your Mother?
How I Met Your Mother, yes.
Okay.
Although we're not really discussing that, but it makes a good point. Like, there's one person in the relationship who's the reacher, who's reaching out of their league, and then there's a settler who settles.
That's not nice.
I know!
But it's kind of funny how they explain it. I forgot what season it is, but yeah, it was in How I Met Your Mother. I think it was Barney and, what's his name?
Barney and
Ted?
Yes, Ted, yes.
It was them two.
But it's a good valid point. I'm not saying all relationships are like that, but in your case, you're like, I'm going to settle. So you'd be like the settler. The patriot would be the reacher, right. But the thing is, a lot of people...
She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I haven't reached that point yet, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's an option. It's a good option.
It's a backup plan.
There you go.
But the thing of it is, it's like sometimes there's a story about a 10-cal woman where this guy, he sees a woman on the shores of a beach, like... And he's like, oh, my gosh, she's just the most beautiful, most perfect woman in the world. So he goes to the father, and he's like, I want to marry your daughter. And then he's like, well, you know, you got to pay a dowry, which is
mm-hmm.
cows.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, just give me two. He's like, no, she's worth 10 cows. He's all this idiot. All right, here, I'll take the 10 cows.
Yeah.
Because he's like, how am I going to get rid of her? This is perfect. I'll take the 10 cows. This is a fool, right?
Mm-hmm.
But years passed, and then his friend is traveling to the island. He's like, oh, my God. That is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, like, on the beach. And he's like, yeah, that's my wife. He's like, oh my God, what happened to you? Like, how did you become who you are now? You're like stunning. He's all, because he believed I was a 10 cal woman. Then I started believing it too. So like, mm-hmm. sometimes you can inspire your significant other to greatness as well. So there, you can't discard that either, I feel.
That's true too. It's not just...
It's not just settling.
Yeah.
It's not that black and white.
Was
that?
True.
Was that? No?
But yeah, those guys that I interviewed in the beginning, I was like, huh, interesting. Their perspectives and stuff.
Exactly. And I think
they were all like successful mm-hmm. guys in their like 30s and yeah, thinking about it that way.
Exactly. We actually also one of the theories was a lot of women were like just giving up on love and just like focusing on power and success.
Yeah.
Because they felt like men were being turned off by that, and they're like, well, forget it, we're just gonna focus on the power and success of it and not really on the love portion of it. Which kind of, it's kind of sad. But I mean, if, I guess if you're like a fast-paced city like Manhattan, then, you know, yeah. that's something you want to do.
Like, I like how Charlotte was saying, like, I'm in my 30s, I don't want to settle right now. She was succeeding in her career and stuff.
Exactly.
She's like, I just love my, like where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and I think Miranda was like, you know, I already waited till I'm 30. Why should I settle? Which makes complete
yeah.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, you're older now, wiser, so why should you settle? Why should you make, like, a wrong choice when you're, like, wiser and, you know? It just
yeah.
makes absolutely no sense, which I understand as well. We also meet Stanford Blanche, which is the gay...
Carrie's
oh,
yeah. girlfriend.
Carrie's
he actually
girlfriend.
Had hair.
I know.
I was like, what? He did have hair
so
at some point.
Cute. I know.
I like him. He's funny.
Yeah,
he's
I really
sweet.
Do like him. So, because she's basically a... she basically writes a column in the newspaper, Carrie, our main character, and it's basically mostly... It's called Sex in the City, and it's mostly based on sex. So, and her dating life and her friend's dating life. So what she does is she often does a lot of research.
On-hand research.
And in this case, because, she was doing kind of research on men who, on having the sex like men.
Yes.
And, that way, so she went on to, she actually ran into somebody she'd had, relations with before, and her friend Stanford is like, don't do it. The last time you went there,
I'm gonna clean up this mess.
Yeah, I'm tired of it. We're not gonna do it again. And she's like, no, I got it all under control. So she goes,
fine. Yeah.
She goes into it, and she does. She just, you know, like totally disassociated emotionally. She goes on, and it's most. She says it's research, but I mean, you know, she can get hurt in the process.
Yeah.
But in the name of research, she does a lot of these like little adventures and stuff. So I think that's pretty cool. She also has a friend named Skipper who's super nice. He's the romantic computer guy. I feel so bad for Skipper. And his name is Skipper. I feel bad for him already.
Yeah.
Like,
you mind if you call him Skippy?
Skippy.
Oh my God, yeah. Way to, like, cut his balls, man. Like, calling him Skippy. I'm like,
keep your hands where I can see him.
I know!
So Miranda's, like, the sarcastic lawyer power person. You know,
yeah.
she's not from the city. She came from a small town. And was it Pennsylvania? Anyway, she comes
from... Yes, it is Pennsylvania.
She comes from Pennsylvania in a small town. And, you know, like, for them, for her family, success is... marrying a guy and having kids, and she's like a lawyer and she wants to make partner, and
yeah.
you know, she's like constantly trying to prove her Manhattan-ness throughout the series.
Yeah.
But she's kind of the voice of reason most times, you know, like I feel like she's really got her head on straight. But because of that, I think she's the most masculine of the bunch. And
I think so too.
She is the most masculine of the bunch.
She ends up kind of
cause she acts
sabotaging
like,
herself.
Yeah, that, and she acts like the guy, like, he, you know,
totally.
She doesn't like calling. No.
Steve tells her that in, like, the second, or somewhere down the line.
He's like, are you, like, the guy?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, the guy, Miranda.
Yeah, because, you know, Skipper was like, I called you. You know, he kind of did,
and
like, a bold move
yeah.
to kiss her that made him seem less of a softy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but he's going to need to know where to draw the line, too. Remember
yes.
how he's, like, breaking up with someone just because she called.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, we will hear all about that later, but that was a really like eye-opening experience on what kind of person Skipper is.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. You just, Skipper, tone it down.
Yeah, because Harry kind of has him a bit on a pedestal that he's like a nice, sweet guy, even though, you know, he's a nerd or geeky or whatever. Not geeky, it's just that he doesn't...
He described himself as the hopeless romantic.
Yeah, he's romantic, yeah.
Oh, well, that's right. True. That's so true. It's like, nobody likes the nice guy. Which just sucks, because he's such a nice guy.
He just doesn't have any, like, masculinity in him. I guess that's the only way I could describe it.
Maybe he's more in touch with his feminine side as a guy.
Yeah, could be.
He says something about space in Manhattan.
Yes, he says, there's not, you need space for love to grow, and
that's
there's not enough space
in
or
Manhattan.
Romance
that's
in Manhattan,
right.
Which makes complete sense because the city is so crowded. In this particular episode, it's really cool because we actually see Big run into Carrie again at a club or a bar or a party or whatever. And
it was after she did her research.
After she was doing her research.
Runway show.
Huh?
It was at the runway show.
Oh, the runway show. Yes, absolutely.
The first time was out on the street.
The second time was at that club / bar.
With Samantha. Yeah.
It's like Cheers, but nobody knows your name.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And the last one was at the runway show.
That's right. But in the runway show is where he gets hit on by Samantha, and I thought that was so weird.
It was at the club.
That was at the club?
Yeah.
Because that was
my
their
notes
second.
Are bad.
Yeah. Their second meeting.
Yeah, because that's where she. Samantha tells Carrie, if you're not going to go, then I'll go.
Yeah.
And she goes and she's like, hey,
go
have
for
a
it.
Private key and blah, blah, blah to the room.
And he totally says no thanks.
He said,
maybe another time.
And she's like, what the heck?
I just got rejected.
What? I got rejected. But in the same time that Samantha's getting rejected, Charlotte is going out on a date. I guess she went to the opera with this, like, really nice potential bachelor.
With Capote Duncan, right?
Yes, Capote Duncan. And he actually, she's playing hard to get. So
yeah.
She's like, I better go. And he's like, okay, I'll put you in a cab. So she's thinking he's being a gallant gentleman, but then he's like,
can you get over?
I think originally he was going to let her go until she said where she was going.
Exactly.
And so he noticed that it was on the way to the club, so he was like,
scoot over. And then she's like, where are you going? And he goes, I'm going to go to the club. The night's still young. He goes, but we just had a date. He goes, yeah, and you wanted to leave, so I'm going to the club.
He's like, I just really
wanted to get late today or
something.
Yeah. He was like really blatantly honest.
Yes.
Like, I just wanted to get late today. And she's like, oh. Like, she gets so cute about that. But one of the things, actually, during that episode, Samantha actually ends up hooking up
with that guy.
The Capote dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was our first episode that she did her research on having sex like a man, which is what the article was about.
Yeah, having, like, no feelings, no strings attached.
No strings attached, just devoid of any human emotion whatsoever, just going for the sex.
I kind of feel like she got hurt after that guy was like, oh, you finally understand what I've been wanting.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's right.
So true. What was his name?
Kirk.
Yeah,
Kirk.
Best sex she's ever had.
Yeah.
In the second episode, it's called Models and Mortals.
I enjoyed this one a lot.
Now you know like who the main characters are.
Yeah.
So you're like you get a little bit more of a kind of an interesting take on this second episode. We open up with Miranda on a date, and it's like a dinner date with a guy and his friends.
Yeah.
So they're at dinner and the champagne, the wine is flowing, the conversation is sensational. Everybody loves how witty Miranda is. Everything's going great. She thinks this is like
an awesome day.
Best thing from sliced cheese.
Yeah, best thing ever. And then the girlfriends of the guy kind of corner her in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And they tell her what's what. So basically, they said, either you bring a regular girl to dinner or else we're going to cut you off. Because he only dates models.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand why, because he looks really like...
I know.
Like a little rodent, actually.
But you know what? That's the reason why. Because the model will look at him and he'll be like, she'll be like, he'll do anything for me.
Yeah. Or he has money.
That.
Or he's not threatening or whatever. Like, she'll have control.
I guess so. I wouldn't know. I'm not a model. So,
I'm a mortal.
I'm just a mortal.
But, I thought it was, I tripped out when they revealed that, he only brings home models, and they show, like, all the models he just brought
in.
Okay,
so before we move further on in second episode, do we want a recap of how we feel about episode one?
That's a good idea.
On, have we done it? The, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Being, you know, having the sex and just dropping the guy, being the guy, you know, or have we been on the opposite shoe where the guy just, you know, just drops us?
That's a good, let's start with you.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
As soon as you mention it, I'm like, yep, you're going to go first. You set yourself up.
Let's not tell JR the link to this podcast.
No, we're not.
I guess I've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
At my beginning, I've been on, you know, the been used and abused or whatever. But then after I got just smart about it, I said, you know what? Screw this. I'm gonna be the user. And I mean, as long as you detach and you're really good at detaching, you can go ahead and do it. I mean, there's no such thing as in, oh, you're the woman and you have sex and you fall for the guy. No, not all the time. Doesn't happen.
Can you agree that sometimes we could have a little bit of emotion but still be detached? Like, we could care for them as human beings, but...
I didn't really see it that way. I saw it more as property.
Okay.
As in, that's mine. Don't touch it. Kind of. But not as in, oh, yeah, I care for you. No. I just saw it as in, that's mine. Don't touch it.
Interesting concept.
What? I'm trying to think. I want to say I have done it, but I have not been the other way around. Yeah. Like, I've been the one to be like, okay, done.
Cool.
Moving on. But I haven't been the one where I'm used. I'm trying to think. Nope. No.
That's good.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I had to really think about it.
She's like, let me tally it up.
It was this time, then this time, and then this time.
Well, I think it also depends on when you start in life.
That's true.
Yeah. Because if you start young, then you end up falling for, you know, the guy just trying to make his notches on his belt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start later, then you're kind of a little bit smart about it, and you're kind of picking who you're doing it with.
Yeah.
So,
this is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
The only thing I've been led on to is, like, when you're talking and flirting and blah, 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 then it comes down to it, so is it going to move on from here or not? And then it was a no. That's the only...
No follow through.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I was like, really?
It's like, I thought we had a moment, bitch. It's like, what? Am I the only one feeling this?
Well, whatever then. Moving on.
For me, I think I've been in a couple relationships, and then the last one, it wasn't, well, for me, I didn't even see it going beyond that one day. But
you
know,
24 hours. Go.
I woke up and I was like, why are you still here though?
I should have been gone already.
And then it became a thing, like, because you chose for it to become a thing, but for me, I was not in it from day one. And then it turned into like an 18-month thing, and it was because he decided to make it a thing. But I never felt any love for him. I knew I wasn't in love with him. And eventually it came to the point that I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I couldn't. Even he told me, he was like, you don't have any love for me. And I was like, dude, don't tell me that. How am I going to respond to that, you know?
Don't call me out, jeez.
Yeah.
God, what do you want me to say? Want me to lie?
And then I was like, damn. Like, yeah, so the next day I was just like, I can't do this anymore. But... So I guess I've been that, but I've never been on the opposite side of that. And I hope karma never catches up for me for that.
For me, I don't think I've been on the, like, use side without me knowing it. Like, I know, like, they're using me. And I'll, like, okay, I'll let you use me. But it's never been, like, I've been, like, on the... Okay, so, yeah, I guess I have been used. But I had emotion, so I let it happen. And then I have been on the using side. But then I always mistake good sex with love. So after a while, I just started catching feelings.
See, that's the thing. It's like, yeah. I'm telling you, you gotta kind of detect, because I when it came to some good stuff, I was like, man, can't let this go. But then I would still be like, oh, okay, I'll talk to you. But you always have to go back to that good one.
See, the thing is, like, I couldn't multiplayer. I was just like one, you know?
I was able to juggle.
It takes a certain skill, and I'm just like, oh my god.
It wasn't well.
She tried.
I had to have help. I'm like,
see, I need help and guidance to do that.
But see, like, so nobody taught me. Like, nobody taught me. I just picked it up after, I guess, I picked it up after being kind of used.
Yeah.
In my late teens, you could say. I was like, you know what? That's enough. I just went ahead and just said, screw it. And I just turned the other way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, I went in it with eyes open. So it wasn't like, I mean, maybe like the only thing was, the only bad downfall was, like, the only bad ending was that I hoped to inspire love and it never happened. But we always would remain friends. So it wasn't like a total fail. it's just after it's so good, it's like really hard to like keep my head all straight. I'm like, oh, I think I love you.
I think I feel something.
I think my heart's palpitating. But there were times that it was just what it was, and that was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, and I think, and then I start to get to know the person, and it's like, oh, you're so cool, and you like the same bands. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's where you do think, like, oh, you know, this might turn into something. And I think that's what happened with me. But then I, like, you know, I...
You're like, I'm not feeling it.
I mean, I've been in love, and I do know that feeling, and it just never reached that point with that other person. So I'm just like, you're really fun. Like, even out beyond the bed, you're a really fun person and really funny, but
I just didn't
see it happening.
And I see that. I think the downfall for me was actually hanging out with them. If it was just, like, the, you know, midnight call or the 3 a.m. call, then I think it would have been better for me. And you know, instead of hanging out, like, hey, let's go to a concert or let's go to the club, you know, then that's when things started kind of changing for me.
Yeah.
But I don't feel used to it.
You wouldn't be able to draw the line.
After that, it's like, oh, line is so blurry. I don't know what I'm doing.
Is it here or is it over here?
Yeah. Like, do I call? Nah, I shouldn't call. Wait, but I want to call. Ugh. Terrible. But it was a good learning experience, and I had a really good time doing it too, so I don't feel like it's a total fail. I just got hurt, but that's okay.
You can learn.
Yeah, definitely. So like this episode kind of resonates with me, and I really enjoyed it.
So if you had to pick a character to identify with from episode 1, so what would it be?
From episode 1? Yeah, I know, that is hard. I'm going to say Samantha in this first episode only because she got rejected.
My babe.
Yeah. So, like, she's, you know, she's having the sex with other people, but she got rejected by the one she kind of went ahead and put herself out there for. So I think in this first episode, I identify myself with Samantha. Because there's no way I'm identifying with Miranda. She was on top of her game the whole time. I'm like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when she was out with Skipper, so.
Where are your hands? Is your hand on my knee right now?
Yeah.
No? You know where I can see her, buddy? Whatever she said.
Yeah, that's actually what she said. It was funny. Who do you identify in this episode with?
I'm going to identify with, I think, Carrie, because, like, she's learning so much from Samantha, like, about the whole sex power thing. Mm-hmm. As because Samantha says it's a whole exchange of power. Mm-hmm. And then Carrie didn't really understand that at first, but then she goes out and tries it. So I think I'm into that. I didn't really understand that, and then I tried it. And now I'm just being like, I can't do that either.
It's like, not for me.
So yeah, so she's really unsure about her capability of doing it, and that's why I identified with that.
Cool. What about you guys?
I think Charlotte for me.
Oh, she's so appalled by everything.
Yeah. You're going to a club? We were just on a date.
I think I would feel bad knowing that my date is going to go do something else.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah,
so you did not... But at the same time, I'm not giving it up, so I can't really get too mad.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was our first date, so...
Yeah. Sometimes it happens on the first date. Not always.
Not according to Charlotte.
I know, right? Charlotte's more uptight.
Yeah. Mine would be Samantha also.
Cool.
Yep.
Awesome sauce. I guess then now we can move to the second episode. We're talking about models.
Right. That's right.
So one of the guys that dates only models, he says the trick is to treat them like regular girls. Mm-hmm. If you do that, then they're like, what is this? And they're like intrigued by you, so then you end up dating
instead
a model.
Instead of them being treated like goddesses,
right,
or princesses or
and
something.
And I think one of the models had said, it's so sad, like, you get the guys that are like, just kind of like, want to give you everything, and it's like it's like a puppy. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Which I thought was really sad because that's never happened to me.
But I just, yeah, because that guy wasn't even that attractive for him to like bring in like models. But yeah, if he's gonna spoil them or whatever, the girls are like, why not? I don't have to make much effort to.
And actually, in the little interview sections of this episode, it was all about models and how they got like scuba gear and trips to Aspen and Sam Bart's and, you know, like all these lavish gifts. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? I have never been on that side of that at all.
Right.
But then we see also like how women see the models as people who have like no brain capabilities and how they're just beautiful and how beauty is bestowed on the people that are the least worthy of it.
Yeah.
Which I think we could all relate to that. Mm-hmm. Like, we are not models.
We're mortals.
We're definitely mortals. So in this episode, we actually meet Derek, which is the only soul, I wouldn't say employee, but the only person, he's a model that Stanford and his talent agency represent. He's the sole client.
Boyfriend.
No, he's not his boyfriend. He has a crush on him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Derek actually is straight. Derek's straight. Remember? And he's straight, but Stanford, like,
has a huge crush
on him.
I have to focus on his career instead of getting, like, other clients just him.
Yeah, and he's like, how could somebody so beautiful be straight? Which makes sense. I felt that in this episode, it was like, it was kind of sad because they really painted the models as being really airheaded.
Yeah.
And so we go in thinking Derek is like shallow and a brute and kind of an idiot. Mm-hmm. And then we actually end up seeing him in a different light.
Yeah, because especially in the conversation they had with Stanford and Carrie, he was barely
talking. Or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, though Stanford was kind of like all over him.
Okay,
you're good.
And you know how
touching him.
And Carrie, being, you know, like a writer, she's like full of witty banter and really fluid with like conversation. So when, you know, you get met up with Derek, who has like one word answers, she's kind of like, huh, like, okay, this guy's like too beautiful and really dumb.
Yeah.
And then they're at a fashion show where this model Derek is modeling underwear, which Which is kind of funny because you're like, oh, aren't you going to put something else on? No, I'm already dressed.
I'm already dressed.
Yeah.
I'm
just like,
she's like, oh,
okay. Which is cool. Like, again, we see Samantha at the show and whatever, and then they have an after party. Carrie's invited to the after party. She's there with Stanford and Derek, and then she runs into Big once again. Mm-hmm. And then Big is asking, so what's this article about? And he goes, well, where do you write? Where's your office? And she says, no, I spent most of my time in my apartment or at a coffee shop on, I don't know, Fifth Avenue or whatever. So then he's like, well, what are you writing about now? And she's like, well, I'm writing about models, like what kind of man only dates models. Mm-hmm. So as they're talking and such, and Big is trying to defend himself as a guy.
Yeah.
A beautiful, statuesque African-American model steps up to him, and he's like, you know, she's like, ready to go. So he's actually there because he's dating
a model.
A model. Yeah. And she's like, you almost see the look on Carrie's face, and you're like,
she had a name for them.
Modelizer.
Modelizer.
Yes.
Yes. Because she didn't expect Big to be a modelizer. Because he just didn't, I guess. Even though Samantha did mention it on the first episode, he does date models.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's true.
So you don't really see him one until, you know, he's defending himself, and then the model pops up, and then it's like, oh,
that's why you're talking that kind of smack.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And in this same episode, one of Carrie's friends who's an artist, he also is a modelizer, but to the second power. He actually videotapes all the models he is sleeping with.
Yeah.
And so when Samantha sets eyes on him, she says, oh, he only dates models. And so then Samantha gets it in her head. It's like, oh, he only dates models. So if I get him to date me, then now I'm as beautiful as models.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense in a weird, twisted way.
I think it's just her trying to...
Her trophies?
Affirm that she's at that level.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think Carrie mentions that Samantha has a self-esteem, a diluted self-esteem the way Ross Perot did when he ran for president. Which I thought was kind of clever.
Huh.
I was like...
Yeah.
But I was like, that's pretty cool. I really like that.
She's just... Samantha's very confident. And she's like, I can do this. Oh, challenge accepted. She's like the Barney
she's
of...
She's very confident, but she has that little, like, monster in the back also that makes her second guest.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she's always striving for glory. Mm-hmm. Because she has this little voice inside her. Mm-hmm. But she always ends up winning, so... That's cool anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the party's over. Then Carrie's trying to leave in a cab, and then she runs into Derek, the underwear model. And Derek's like, hey, can like we hang out? And she's all, don't you want to stay at the party? He said, I don't like these things. She's all, oh, I thought you'd be leaving on the hand of a beautiful model. He goes, I don't date models.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to Carrie's apartment, and they're just talking. He's like, you know, I'm really self-conscious. I'm self-conscious because I actually say things in my head before I say them out loud.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to sound dumb.
That totally surprised me. I was like,
I know.
You're not dumb.
You're not dumb.
You have a brain. Oh, my God. You're beautiful and have a brain.
I was taken aback by that. I totally thought he was going to have sex with her. I was like, oh, she's going to score one for the girls.
Like, I scored a model.
Right? It would have been cool. Like, yeah. You know, a nice, like, little story for, you know, dinner around, for dinner time conversation. But it turns out this guy was awfully nice. He says that, she said, so what do you, you know, what are your future plans? And he says, I just want to go back home to Iowa, have kids, and become a cop. And you're like, wow, this guy's, like, normal. Wow. You know, you're not, like a dick, and you're not a dork, and you're not a, you know, like, a mean guy, and you're not, like...
The women models.
Yeah, like, the women models. So it's like, you're taking it back, and you think maybe they're going to have sex, but they actually do not end up having sex. They actually just end up having conversation, drinking wine, and they end up falling asleep together, and he says to her, you know, the city, I hate the city, I'm so lonely here. And she's like, how could somebody so beautiful be so lonely?
So lonely, yeah.
But it just goes to show you that there's like several levels of people that we actually don't end up knowing about them. And it will take, I mean, if you take the time to actually get to know them, you may discover these like wonderful secrets about them as an individual.
Yeah, because it kind of changes your perspective from the beginning of like, these models are beautiful and they're dumb, they don't use your brain. And then to Derek, who's like complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He's insecure about like what he says, that's why he doesn't really
say anything,
much.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's wants normal things. And what was my last one? I was not sure I thought. And he's just he's not gay.
Sorry, he's not gay. Yeah. Sorry, Stanford. Another thing that we see in this episode is how Miranda runs into Skipper.
Yeah.
And I think this is so cool because Miranda's trying to, like, shoo him off. She's like, it's not going to work. You're too nice. I'm too old. You should date women in your age group and stuff like that. And he's like, God, Miranda, it's just that you're so luminous. And that is the thing that turns it all around. She's like, wow, this guy sees me as luminous. This guy sees me as the 10 cal woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when she goes home with him. She runs into him at a supermarket, and then he's like, well, let me pay for my Lucky Charms.
Captain Crunch.
I don't know why I say like Captain Crunch. And he's like, Skipper, there's cereal in my apartment. Like, you're going to get late today, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get breakfast tomorrow, dude. You know it's on.
It's going to happen. I tried hard not to, like, keep going the episodes. Like, after that, I'm like, I want to know what happens. Like, do they talk about it? Like, I was just curious. And I'm like, I'll just stop at 2.
I already saw the whole thing. So, like, for me, it's a rewatching.
Yeah.
So, but I just actually saw it the fourth time. So, the fifth time? Anyway, whatever. So, I could take it slow because I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Slow down, too. I'm on season 4.
Oh,
but that's me slowing down.
It's your version of slowing down.
Well, Samantha actually gets to have sex with this guy, Barkley, who only has sex with models. And then, like, halfway while they're having sex, she's like, where's the camera? And he's like, oh, you know, I only film
models.
I was insulted for her.
Yeah.
She says, but then she says, I don't mind. He's like, well, let me turn it on. So after that, she was like,
he's like, I can make an exception. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, but I mean, she was happy about it.
Yeah.
That was like her way of saying I'm just as beautiful as a model. So then we pan out to where Carrie is at the coffee shop writing her article, her column, and Big shows up.
Yeah.
Stalker, but whatever.
Right before a meeting, and he's already running late.
He's already running late, and he makes a stop to talk to her about that. So, they have a little conversation about, like, why he dates models and such. But that really didn't grab me as much as the very last thing he said. He said, after a while, you just want to be with the one who makes you laugh. And I think, to me, that was kind of an invitation and a nod towards her, like...
Yeah, because all their interactions, they're short and they're small, but they're both smiling.
Exactly.
Like, even if it's just a little, how are you, whatever, they're smiling. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, their conversations, they are significant. There's, like, no real pauses of awkwardness or anything. So I feel like they have a good thing going.
I was really surprised that Big was there from the beginning. And I'm like, I kind of want to rewatch that part where they meet, or Big is mentioned. Because I'm like, how did he get his name? Who put subtitles? Yeah.
No, she doesn't get his name. Miranda says it later on, but, like, we're talking about seasons ahead.
Okay.
I found out his name? I found out his name at the very last episode of the sixth season.
Yeah, I think so.
That's where I found out what his name was.
What is it, John Peterson or Preston?
No, wait.
My bad.
No, but she's talking about where he got his
big name.
Like, oh, big.
It happens in the first episode. I think it's when Samantha introduces or like points him out, oh, that's blah, 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 the next big blah, blah. I think that's kind of where it is.
Oh, I see.
Sure. Yeah. Because she points him out really fast, and then Carrie says something that she knows him.
Saying, oh, that's where he gets big, but I don't remember the moment.
Yeah, because even that's when Smith's like, oh, you know him? Like, oh, no. It's like, well, if you're not going to go after it, I'm going to go. And then it just happens really fast.
Yeah, really fast.
So that's why I want to go back and, like, I need to know.
I want to know.
Because from day one.
So. Yeah, pretty much dubbed Mr. Big.
Yeah, I kind of had, like, a topic or question in mind because of episode 2. So, you know how Miranda finds out that this guy is dating models? Like, how would you guys find out if you knew that the girl before you was like a 10, pretty much?
I've always had a problem with that. I've just had a low. Let me start.
No, you know, start. She has a question.
I know, but I got right into it. Like, I just came to me like a wave of emotion.
Stop it. I don't like this question.
Oh, no. I think I've been one to always have like low self esteem. So for me, like, I always felt like the guys that I kind of were in passing with or always had like a beautiful ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. There are some that they were actually beautiful ex-girlfriends. But as time goes on, you realize that like something was missing. Either like they were beautiful, but they had really crappy attitudes.
Yeah.
Or they were beautiful and they were bitches, or, you know, which was the case with most of them. So like as time went on, I just, I quit focusing on that. But it was a real big problem for a long time for me. Like, I couldn't get past it. Like, mm-hmm. Why are you with me? What do I have? Like, it was a constant question that I felt that would tire them out. So then I stopped doing that. I mean, it was a growing process. But at the beginning, it was mostly like, so why do you want to be with me? Like, so what do I bring to the table? Which sucks.
Are you sure? I mean,
yeah, it was a lot of that. A lot of that at the beginning. But then towards the middle of it, it was like, okay, yeah, they're beautiful, but they're bitches. Or, yeah, they're beautiful, but I get better head. You know, or something, like anything. Yeah. Like, at that point, it was like, I'm going to turn it around and realize what's good in me and what I've been working on. But, yeah, at the beginning, it's like a shocker. It's like honestly, it feels like cold water, you know, dripping on you.
Yeah, you're like, what?
You're like, what? You shudder inside. You're like, no.
Yeah.
I have stretch marks, damn you.
There are flaws here.
Right?
I can't see them, but I know they're there.
I know. It's like, don't touch me because you're going to grab my lonja.
Like, hey, not there. Up here.
Don't grab my belly. I am not Buddha.
I will not give you money.
But yeah, I mean, you go through these like little fearful thought patterns, but after a while you get over it. Or you have to move on.
Yeah.
Because you can't live like that.
That's true.
You really can't.
Yeah. That's true. I thought of it because I was like, that's immediately after the girls told her that, I was like, and Miranda's like, only models? Blah, blah, blah.
Because she completely changed her attitude towards the date. Absolutely.
Yeah, because she was like, she felt really great about the date and, you know, the guy and whatever. And then that just like flipped for her.
Completely flipped it.
And I think she said, I was told I had killer legs. And I think that's about it. Or I think that's what he had told her.
Yeah.
And that was like, okay. But then to find out that models were before her, it's like, what?
I think the cool thing was one thing she said. When did it become the big thing to date a giraffe with boobs?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I totally get you. Like, I know where you're coming from with that.
That's true. It's just, I've been like that before too, where I'm like insecure, like, really? I don't fit into this scene. Like, are you sure? Like, I don't, okay. And I had to get over it too. There's different times in my life where I'm like, are you sure? Like, okay, I guess. I'm like tiny. Are you sure you want a tall girl with a bigger butt? Like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, I felt like that before where you're like insecure and then you have to like get over it. Which is true, you have to get over it because if not,
it'll be toxic on your relationship.
Yeah. Or just like your dating life period, because if you're not confident with yourself. What you got as yourself, then you're just gonna be not happy.
Exactly.
Or you're just gonna have all that worry in the back of your head. Or yeah, as you call it, that little monster in the back of your head.
It's always gonna be like the dark cloud on you for sure.
Yeah, you have to like overcome. But that was just the question like I had like after like that moment happened in that episode. I would feel like, what?
Exactly.
But like I was saying about Samantha, even the most confident one will still always kind of feel like there's somebody prettier than you.
That's true, she does think that way.
So, I mean, somehow, one way or another, we've all been that, you know, that one's been prettier, why are you with me?
Yeah.
Damn, that's so true. What about you?
Well, same guy. Go back to, let me just stick with him for all six seasons. But, actually I knew his ex-girlfriend, and she was pretty, whatever, but she had, like, the worst personality ever in public. But then or with him, or they didn't have good chemistry, or something. I don't know what was going on there. Because then, like, after they broke up, I ran into her, and I was like, she's actually pretty cool on her own. But I think when, as a couple, they just didn't go together as people. I don't know. So when they broke up, I was like, yeah, she was really pretty. But me and him tend to get along better, like in public and in private and everything. So I think it has to do with that, like, a lot, the chemistry you have with the person. You guys can both be tense, but if at the end of the day you don't get along, there's only so much you can do there, you know?
You could strike up a conversation, unlike models.
That's true.
Yeah. She was not a model pretty, but she wasn't, like, ugly, definitely not.
Yeah.
And then it was weird because when I ran into her, actually, like, I was already dating him, and I was like, oh, shit, what is she here?
You're like,
okay. Oh, dude.
But then I saw it. I was just like, I even told her, I was like, you were so quiet when I last met you, which was when she was with him. And she was just like, yeah, just being around him and his friend wasn't my thing. And I was just like, okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But tell me how you really feel.
I know. She told me. And I was just like, so that's why you guys broke up?
All right. Makes sense.
All right. Note to self.
Now I know.
Don't do this mistake. Seriously. Yeah. And then that's why he eventually told me, you don't love me. I was just like, nah. I know what you really like.
I've seen it.
I heard it straight from
the horse's mouth?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our very first episode, ladies. Thank you so much. I think it went well. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
this is great.
Cool.
Can't wait for more. Yeah. I might binge through the first season and just rewatch it.
That's what I did. That's what I did, yeah. Which, you know, makes sense.
I totally encourage that.
Yeah, I condone that behavior.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry, I have to watch right before.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's why I take notes, or else I'm... You know, I remember too much of the other episodes and
I was just gonna watch it and then something told me like, oh, get your phone, do notes. I was like, oh yeah.
I was gonna do that, but again, my life is like everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't just, especially with her, I can't sit and watch that stuff. It's like I have to be in my tablet with headphones on and watching it so nobody else can watch.
I completely agree. I could not watch it with my nephew, like if he was walking in and out. There's some stuff, because there's nudity.
Because I watched it at your place and like, you know, he was like playing video games, he was loud. I'm like, okay, as long as I could hear him interacting with the game, I know he's not going to come in here. Because I saw stuff and I was like, oh, I'm glad he's not coming in here.
I'm so like quick, like once they walk in, like I pause it right away because after sometimes they'll be moaning and stuff and you don't want that going on in the background when they're talking to you.
No, I had it kind of like low and I had the
subtitle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I subtitle it too, for sure. Definitely.
And like he had his thing loud, so I'm like, okay, that's fine. It'll drown out this. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. All right, guys. Well, I think this will be a monthly podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Right on, guys. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening. If you have any suggestions, please feel free to get back to us on our Facebook page, which we, I will create.
Yay! I don't have Facebook, but I'll look at it.
Awesome sauce. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We'll catch you next time.
Have a good night.